Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 26 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion of what it's like to repurpose your career. This podcast comes in a four-part sequence. First podcast of the month is an industry expert. Next week's episode will be Mark Anthony Dyson talking about ageism and unconscious bias. The second in the sequence is always someone who's made a late career pivot, someone who has repurposed their career. This month was Mike Martin, who is now a drone pilot instructor. The previous month was Elizabeth Rabe. So that was episode 24 and 20. Elizabeth will be on this podcast helping me with questions. The third in the sequence is either me reading a chapter from Repurpose Your Career, a practical guide for baby boomers, or a topic that I choose. And the last in the sequence is where I take your questions, which is this episode. So we have three questions that I'm going to be answering today along with my sidekick, Elizabeth Rabe. I hope you enjoy this episode.
So I am joined with my fellow cohort and sidekick, Elizabeth Rabe. How about introducing yourself, Elizabeth?
Hi, everyone. I am Elizabeth Rabe, and I am honored to be with Mark Miller to help him out with his mailbag questions here. And we do have some very interesting questions today. But a little bit about me. I've been working with Mark known Mark for about 4 or 5 years, and he has helped me along the way and helped me make a couple pivots, which has been great. The last pivot we did is working out very well. And as Mark mentioned earlier, I was on one of his podcasts. And if you want to know more about me and my story and how I got to where I am today, I would recommend that you go back and do that. And if you'd like, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd like to hear about your journeys and see what's working for you. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Mark.
Let's get started. Elizabeth, what's the first question?
This first question that we have is there's a lot of pieces to it, so I'm going to get started here. It starts out, I'm in my 50s. After being faced with the possibility of a divorce, I panicked and applied to graduate school last June. I have just finished paying off a $10,000 home remodeling loan before applying to grad school. I now owe approximately $11,000 towards a grad school loan with 2 more years to go. I have an 11th grader who will be starting college next year. I don't want to quit my grad school program, but I don't want to go into retirement age in more debt. I also need to help my son with his college goals. My mind tells me I should leave grad school immediately and before I owe more money and work on getting my son ready for school. My heart says to stay. I probably should have looked for a full-time job. I have worked part-time since my son was a baby, and a master's degree would open up more doors for me in my field, which is social work. This master's degree is in public health. I need your honest opinion. There's a lot here, Mark.
Yes, there is. She and I spent some time talking, so I'm going to kind of take it from the bottom up. Start out with, she's getting a master's degree in public health. And I asked her, why did she select that one? The answer was, it looked good. I'm going to do a blog post on this, but is this master's degree, will it make you educated or employable? And she goes, well, I don't know. That's a question you have to ask before you ever start one of these master's programs. And that is, what I would want you to do is go to the college or the university or whatever institution you want to take this degree program from. And I want you to have them show you alumni that look, taste, and smell like you, i.e. with your background, your age, your experience who have taken this program have come out the back end with a job. This is really critical because I've seen more people go back and get master's degrees, come out with nothing. They either can't get a job, but they do have student loan debt. So that's the first piece. Now she's halfway through and she's already sunk 11K. You have to almost look like look at this like investing in the stock market. Do you hold on to an investment after it's gone down because, well, I've already put $11,000 into it and I should hold on to it so when it goes, it'll go back up? And the answer is a sunken investment is not a reason to keep it or sell it. It's spent money. And she had to make a quick decision, and one of the first things I told her was go with her gut. She can always stop the program and restart it, but she needs to really do her homework on whether this is going to actually make sense, rather than just simply, as I say, MSU, make stuff up. Because she really doesn't know when she's all done, whether it's going to help her. And by the way, she's going to be in her very late 50s when she's done. The third piece is her 11th grader. As much as we all feel obligated to help our kids go to college and we want them to be successful, you cannot sacrifice your career and retirement to put your kid through college. I have a very good friend who eventually went broke. He went bankrupt. And he ended up helping his daughter go through her freshman and sophomore year at a fairly expensive college. And that just drove him into bankruptcy that much faster. His daughter wouldn't have liked it, but she could have figured out how to pay for college on her own, which is go to community college, join the military. There are lots of other ways to finance college. And you shouldn't sacrifice that to sacrifice your career and your retirement so your kid can get through college. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that, Elizabeth?
I think that all those are great ideas. And I think stepping back and looking at the big picture, and I really like your idea of having her go back to the school that she's getting her degree from and find out if there's alumni that made it through like her and see, you know, how long it took them to get their jobs and is it the return on their investment of getting this degree really paying off, and especially in where she's living and such. So I think that's kind of a critical part too. And I think, you know, sending your kid to school too is you got to be creative, like, to get them to school in a different way. It's not the traditional way anymore. You have to think outside the box of how can they go and get the best degree and still succeed.
A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I attended the National Career Development Association conference, and 1,500 people showed up, and about two-thirds were college career counselors. Head of the Arizona State Career Pathways Institute gave one of the keynote speeches, and he basically said, to paraphrase, we've always told our kids the only path to a successful career is a 4-year degree. He said, that's not true anymore. What you really need to do is go get that 2-year degree, go get a job, then go back at some point in time and get that 4-year degree, because things are changing too fast. And I mean, I see it here, our local massive institution of the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. They're graduating kids with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in student loan debt, and they can't get jobs because they have liberal arts degrees. Mm-hmm. Now, when you and I graduated from college with a liberal arts degree, yeah, you get a low-paying job, but you didn't have massive student loans to pay off.
No. Mm-mm.
And so that's the change that's occurred, and you've got to be careful. You know, when I went off to teach high school math in an inner-city high school, most of my boys, who almost all came from poverty, I told them all to join the military. Because number one, it would provide the structure for them, but it also gave them a pathway to college, because many of them, if they started at a 4-year college, would not have made it because it would take them 8 years or 9 years to get through.
Yes.
Because they didn't have the money. And they didn't have the family, didn't have the familial support. I think we've beaten that one down.
There's a lot there, and I wish her well, and I'm sure she'll do a great job. So, but our next question is really an interesting one too. It starts out, desperately at working after being downsized out of a multi-year film studio position for 4 years ago, I went to graduate school and earned a master's degree in nonprofit management. I then was tied up for about a year caring for a family member, now getting almost no responses to applications. I've had only 2 interviews, but I wasn't hired for either one. Not sure the best route to take. I am 65 years old, have long and varied experience and strong skills. What should I do?
Again, this is another one of those multi-pronged answers. So again, I asked her, why did she get the master's degree in nonprofit management? And again, she thought it would be a good idea. Then the other piece is all she'd been doing is looking at job boards and applying. And we all know that doesn't work. Now, she is applying in nonprofits. And you have to understand, nonprofits outside of the association world are cause-driven organizations. Cause-driven organizations want people who are driven by that cause. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very difficult with no experience. And by the way, she's having the same problem that if she had graduated with a master's degree and she was 24, she's having the same problem a 24-year-old would have. Mm-hmm. Oh, we want you to have 5 years experience, but I'm fresh out of college.
Yes, the chicken and egg. I need the experience, but you won't give me the experience. So how am I supposed to get the experience if I don't have a job?
And in this case is you probably, while you were going to school, needed to be volunteering at some of these organizations. But that's hindsight. You can't do anything mm-hmm. about that. So she's having the same problem that if she was a young pup. But the other piece is she's 65. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, people do this, whether this is for-profit or non-profit, they're going to look at you and say, do you have the career runway? And because she wants to do management, so we talked, and I said, so what do you want to do for a non-profit? She says, well, I could do marketing, I could do fundraising, I could do this, I could do that. And I said, okay, you got to get really targeted. What exactly do you want to do? And 2, I want you to pick nonprofits where you are, the cause is important to you. I don't remember which episode, I'll put it in the show notes, but I had an episode where I read the chapter on career failures, because I did exactly that. I got hired by the Jewish Community Center here in Austin, and I said, I can make this work. By the way, I'm not Jewish. And by the way, I couldn't make it work. And this is one of the challenges she was looking at, saying, well, I could apply for this and I could apply for that. And I could make that work. Yeah, I could take that one work. I could fit that in. No one's going to hire you. So the first thing she's got to do is get targeted on the nonprofits that actually drive her. Then do your homework on those organizations. Pull up their 990s. If you don't know what a 990 is, it is the tax return for the organization, and you can get those off guidestar.org. You have to register, but they will have the last 3 years of tax returns for that organization. I've had one Leadership Austin classmate of mine was looking at a job. I pulled up the 990, and I went, hey, buddy, they don't have money to pay you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had almost no money.
Wow.
And it was a new position, and he would have ended up having to raise money to pay himself.
Oh, that's hard.
That's hard. You want to walk in with your eyes wide open. And she's since responded, and she's changed her strategy, is getting very, very targeted. I got my one nonprofit job by walking into a conference, and I targeted 5 nonprofits. I got FaceTime with 5 executive directors, and I got the job by doing that. And I never once applied for a job.
Wow.
It's all relationships. And it's even more key in a nonprofit. Well, I'll use an example. I had a client. We were looking at Capital Area Food Bank. And Capital Area Food Bank here in Texas, in Austin, is about an $80 million a year operation. Very stable. They had almost no turnover. And everyone who was in distribution or in the primary function of the organization, they all came out of the food service industry, and they had had one opening in 5 years.
Wow, that's good.
Now, by the way, the ED had been a volunteer and had been on the board and had just had retired from his company. They knew who he was, and he became the executive director there. In other words, he was a known quantity. Mm-hmm. So if you know you're going to go do this master's degree in nonprofit, go start volunteering at these organizations now so that you are a known quality once you graduate.
Moving on to question three. This is also a great question. I have just returned to the U.S. with my family after living in Africa for over 10 years. I have a PhD in linguistics, and I have spent the last decade translating Bibles into various languages, which was very fulfilling work. Now I have returned to the U.S., and I am lost about what to do next.
This is kind of like looking for the needle in the haystack. What I gave him was a method to find that needle. First thing you have to understand, this gentleman was very mission-driven. He'd been translating Bibles into obscure languages for 10 years. And by the way, they came home because of family issues. And I told him, I says, you need to find someone who looks, tastes, and smells like you. You know, I would do a search on LinkedIn on the top 10 schools that offer PhDs in linguistics. Then I would look for graduates who are approximately probably the same age, give or take 5 years either way. And this gentleman was, I believe, in his late 30s or early 40s. Search those LinkedIn profiles for words like religion or Bible or mission. You have to kind of play around looking for terms. And by the way, what the heck are they doing? What you're looking for is people, again, who look, taste, and smell like you. What did they figure out to do? You know, they may be doing, I had no idea. I mean, this kind of stumped me, but you're trying to find hints. And other people have already walked this path. What can they tell you about what they walk? And I've done this with a couple clients in the last year. One woman who's up in the mid-Atlantic states, she went back to a Ruby on Rails boot camp. She, again, came out of the nonprofit world. She's in her mid-50s. And so the first thing I said is, go search on LinkedIn for everybody in your area who has a Ruby on Rails in their profile. Then, and obviously 95% of them were young guys, go look at the pictures and find people who look older. And where are they working? Well, most of them are working for government agencies. So now she has a tentative offer with a government contractor. The downside is she has to get a top secret security clearance. The problem with that is that probably going to take 9 months to a year.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
My son has a secret security clearance, and it took a long time to get. So she's also still looking, but she has that kind of as an ace in the hole. The idea is to look for people who look like you. I had another client. We were looking at a very specific technical area, and we searched, and we found a guy who had essentially his identical background who had made his way into this very specific technical field. He kind of started acting as a Sherpa because he'd already made that move. So it's, in this case, is trying to find someone who has a PhD in linguistics and who is mission-driven. What are they doing?
Yeah, it sounds like another case of finding somebody similar to you and see how they got to where they were going and reach out to them and ask them for advice. Or so, unless he wants to do something very different, but I think that would be his best route to take.
Yeah, the key piece here is mission-driven people. And I'm one of those. I can't work for anybody. Is that there has to be a fulfillment in what you do. And I use the example, when I worked for IBM back in the late 90s, I did a one-year stint in IBM Global Services as a consultant. My one and only project was at EasyPawn or EasyCorp, one of the publicly owned pawn companies. After about 6 months, I couldn't do that. Loaning money to the poor at 20% a month was absolutely disgusting to me. And it had nothing to do with my job. I was developing a point of sale solution, but I couldn't do that. We had three good questions this month.
Yeah, we did. They were all very interesting and lots of opportunities to move forward. That's for sure.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, for being on the podcast with me.
Sure. Enjoyed it. Always enjoy speaking with you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. The book, Repurpose Your Career, A Practical Guide for the Second Half of Life, is now available. That means is also I have time. So if you are interested in me helping you with questions like we answered on this podcast, please go to careerpivot.com, click on the Contact Me button on the top or the bottom of the page, or go to the speaker pipe on the side and leave me a voicemail. Either way, reach out and let's talk. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-26. Please hop over to careerpivot.com, subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. I publish a blog post with show notes every Tuesday morning. If you subscribe to the Career Pivot blog, you'll receive the Career Pivot Insights email every Sunday, which includes a link to this podcast and show notes. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Please take a moment and go leave a review. If you're not sure how to write an iTunes review, please go to careerpivot.com/review. Lastly, if you have any questions like I answered on this podcast that you would like me to answer, please go to careerpivot.com, click on the Contact Me link at the top of the page. Every month, I'm dedicating a whole episode to answering your questions. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.